morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Shine and Flow. Today, I am super excited because I have a really, really awesome good friend of mine that is joining us today to give us some knowledge, some comfort, some enlightenment. I'm really excited to have her on, but before we go any further, let's go ahead and take three deep breaths in and out. In, out, in, and out. All right, everyone. So as I said, I am so excited. Today I have my amazing longtime friend, Christina Book, over here with us on our Shine and Flow episode today. And she has been my friend for a long, long time. I mean, since our college days. So Christina, what's that been like, about 10 years now?
Yeah. Yeah. We're getting old.
Oh, we're about getting old and wise.
Yes. Wiser.
Oh, I love it. Well, Christina, I'm so excited to have you here with us today to share your knowledge. And like I said, maybe give us some tips and some guidance during this time, you know, mm-hmm. the quarantine going on and just the overall uncertainty and anxiety that people can be feeling right now. It could leave a lot of us with, you know, really doomsday kind of feelings, just feeling down. Or on the opposite end, it could also be a time to soul search, which mm-hmm. is, you know, hopefully what we're all doing. We're seeing this as a positive thing, but yeah. It could, you know, leave us with some questions about our own identities, our personal development, just how this all, you know, what it all means in the grand scheme of life. So I figured, let's call Christina. She's the best person to talk about this because you have always inspired me with your optimism and your faith. And you are always, like I told you before, you are basically my personal therapist that I call when I'm feeling down.
That's great.
So I love you, and I apologize for, you know, calling you as often as I do to ask you about life and what
totally
I do.
Okay.
So Christina is a facilitator. She's also a public speaker, and she is a professional with background in mental health. She knows a lot about personal development and identity and faith and how those three pillars tie in together mm-hmm. to create, you know, your best self. Mm-hmm. So Christina, can you take the floor? Tell us everything you know.
Yes, I know everything I know. We'll try to cram it all in here.
Yeah,
I love it. First of all, thanks, of course, so much for having me. It's so exciting to be on here. And yeah, with this time of uncertainty, we've got the quarantine going on, the virus just going, which is really hard right now. I don't know. Yeah. People are all over the place. Like you said, they could be having positive thoughts or negative thoughts and just surviving this quarantine time. So this is, I think, a great time to soul search and really figure out what is your path in life? Where are you going? Because I think a lot of the times people wait too long to ask those questions. And it's, you're in a situation where it's a really difficult moment. And maybe they're at the end of their life or something. And then they start to ask those questions like, hey, what was the meaning of life? So it's so much better to start asking those now so that you're not at the end of the road and realizing like, wait, did I miss the big purpose? Did I fulfill what was, like, you know, called of me? And so that's, I think, is should be the starting point. That is a great place to start. So maybe.
Oh my gosh. I mean, that is one of my biggest fears, I think.
Yeah.
To reach, you know, a time in my life where it almost feels like, what have I done? Like, what did I do with all of my time? So
right,
that's a little scary to not ask those questions. I think I ask those questions almost too much, like every day.
Yeah. And you know, it's the way we were made, because a lot of this talk will be tying into like the three topics that you said, faith, personal development, and identity, because those are like my three combo power punch that I think are just phenomenal for really like living the life that you were called to live. But mm-hmm. the key piece is starting with faith and starting with God. And I don't know where all your listeners are at, but I hope that that this is a message that can encourage them wherever they're at on their walk with faith or God or Jesus. and that this can be something that either moves them forward in that or just causes them to think about it when maybe they didn't think about it before. Because what I've realized, like going through my life, is that yes, I've learned a lot of things a lot of the way, and I loved personal development. I was on this path of like, I got to be the best I can, and I want to do the best that I can in life. But then I realized it just stops a little bit short, because if you were the most perfect person, you developed yourself so wonderfully. You went to every seminar, every personal growth thing. But then again, you get to the end of your life, you're a polished person, but you don't have God. You don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where, what did it matter for? Because really what matters is what God says at the end of your life, not what the world says. You could be the most famous person in the world, and the world all knows you, but really our life is for him. He created us. So when we start there, then life makes so much more sense. But it's hard because our culture really tries to steer us the other way, where it's like, hey, live for you, do what's best for you, become something, be rich and famous.
Yeah.
So it's really a backwards way.
Yeah, I feel like it's a very self-centered culture, and a lot of us, you know, our egos are so inflated because that is what society pushes us to do. It doesn't really lead us to self-reflect or think about our identities. It's more like, you know, go, like you said, go and be famous and go and get a lot of followers and go, you know, be rich. But at the end of the day, like, what really matters is your deep inner peace, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And the way that you get that is through your relationship with God. Because I mean, I read this in a book. It was really good. It was by a pastor, and he had said, like, if I handed you an invention, and just said, like, here, like, use it, and I didn't tell you like how to use it or anything, you'd be like, well, I don't know how it works. And you couldn't ask the invention. The invention can be like, hey, this is how you use me. This is what I was meant for. Then you don't really know how to use it, which is kind of useless. But it's the same way with us. We are created by God. He totally designed every little piece of us. He knows every hair on our head. And so we should be wondering, hey, how were we created? What are the strengths and talents and skills that we have? How can we develop those, which then goes into personal development? How can we develop those to live the best life that God wants us to live for him? So that's like kind of ties into that invention thing. It's like, you know, if we never spend time wondering about like what our strengths are and skills are, because we didn't create us. So why would we ask the world, you know, like, why would we go anywhere but then the person that created us? Like, hey, what did you design me for? You know?
Yeah. Wow. That's such a good point. I love how you said that. Why go to the world to ask advice of, you know, something that wasn't created by the world? Like, the world's not going to have the answer.
No. You can get pieces from the world. Like, and that's something I'm also a huge fan of, is like, I feel like my whole life, like, I've like collected like feedback from people like, oh, you're really good at this. Or like, maybe I wasn't so good at something. It's like, okay, I'm going to take note of all these things to see like, hey, what do other people see? Which is good, but your designer, your creator, like if an architect created a building, like, well, what was the function of it? Was it for conferences or was it for like small gatherings? You know, like, what was it?
Oh, yeah.
So we really have to go back to God and his word and why we were created and why this whole world exists. And that is where we're going to get a lot of those answers. And then life will make so much more sense.
So you're saying that the starting point really is a deep personal relationship with yourself, with God. And then from there, moving forward with personal development techniques that can help you, I guess, spread those talents that you discover.
Yes. Sorry, it broke up a little bit there. But yeah, that's really the starting point. Because if you just went on the personal development path, just as it is, I mean, it's great. I love people wanting to, you know, develop themselves and grow and stretch themselves. That's great. I'm not discouraging that. But I am saying that it does stop a little shy if it doesn't have the God piece of, like, you know, starting from the original, you know, who we were created from and what he wants us to live for. Because when we realize all that, life is not about us, it's about him. This is his plan, his world, his ways, his rules. So, and this is, of course, my belief. And I know people might have all kinds of different beliefs, especially when it comes to faith, but I hope that you can just get some little nuggets out of this in any way, shape, or form that you can, because that really is having a relationship with him. God is going to show you those things and help direct your steps and he is the master of using all these broken, awful pieces of our life and turning them into like amazing things. Because I think about the hardest points in my life, some of the most like embarrassing moments or like times that I was just treated awfully. And yet those are the things that actually have caused me to want to be as great as I can and show so much more love to people. I have a small story that kind of can articulate that. Like back in high school, there was a girl. I was on the junior varsity basketball team, and we were getting on the bus to go to a game. And she was on the varsity team. So varsity was like, wow, they're big and, you know, they're a big deal. And like everyone else's chopped liver were like nothing important, which is fine. Totally fine. But we get on the bus. Like everyone is on the bus. I was like one of the last people to get on the bus. And there were no seats available like at all. And so I looked at this girl. She had one seat next to her and her stuff was on it. And she had her like feet up on the seat. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like my only option. And she's a varsity girl, whatever. I'm just going to ask her. So I said, can I sit here? And she looked at me with like eyes of daggers and and she looked at the seat and looked at me and she said, well, you can sit here, and looked at the floor and basically gestured to me. What? I know, this is crazy, right? She was telling me her feet and her stuff were way more important than the human being that I was, and that I could sit on the floor because that's the scum that I was.
Oh my gosh, that is the meanest thing I have heard. I was not expecting that. I thought it was going to be a nice story. Like,
yeah, no, we became best friends. But check it out. This is where, like, the story, yeah. So I'm telling you, like, all these things that, like, that's one example of, like, a really, like, awful thing that I remember so clearly that happened in my life. But, like, every person, bad events that happen, whether it's a quarantine or a girl being mean to you on the bus, we have a choice, right? We have a choice of what we want to choose. And so in that moment, I could have punched her. I could have done a lot of things. I could have, I don't know, but I didn't choose to do that. I kind of like froze, actually, fight, flight, or freeze, right? I totally froze. Yeah. Because I was so embarrassed. It was like the whole bus got silent at that point. And they all were like looking at me like, what's she gonna do?
Oh, it was so embarrassing. So but awful. You know, gosh, I can't even imagine. I would have been so embarrassed.
I know. I was so embarrassed. And I had like tears coming down my eyes, but I turned and I moved on and I found a seat. And I think some of my other teammates felt bad for me. And they just like smashed me into like a seat where it was like already like three or four people sitting. They're like, just sit here. This is a really awkward situation. So I smashed in, but I never forgot that moment. And what I took away from that, because I, like I said, we have a choice. I didn't choose to say, well, I hate the world. Girls are mean. I hate girls. I hate, you know, school. I hate all the, no, what I chose is, oh my gosh, the way that I felt, I never, ever want anybody to feel that way in their life ever again. I don't want anyone to feel that. So what I made it a point was, hey, I want to do the best that I can to love people, to make them feel included, to make them feel welcome, to make them feel celebrated, to acknowledge them, you know, all those things. So that's what I've carried with me. All these years.
Christina, you seriously made me tear up with that message.
I know, it's so interesting because, so like, you know, we're in my background of working in mental health. That was a story I would tell a lot of the youth that I was working with, and they all really like related with it too, because I think we all, if we dig deep down into our past, we can find some stories where like, yeah, there was a serious injustice that happened to us, something that was really awful. But the what I want to highlight about that story is the choice that we have to make, because everybody has that choice. And what you choose is really going to determine your life and your path and how you move forward. And really, and this is what God is in the business of. He's like, hey, I'll take those, you know, I'll exchange beauty for ashes. Like that was a crummy situation, but now he's made me an even happier, stronger, more positive person because of it. Not cynical, not angry. And so like, so you get to choose that, which I love that we have the power of choice. We're not, you know, we don't have a gun to our head. We have like forced to do life a certain way, and we totally have control over what we choose to do and how we choose to respond. We don't always have control over, you know, what happens, obviously, but we always have control over how we're going to respond. And so that's why personal development for me has been so huge, because I'm like, all right, every time a bad situation happens, I want to choose the best thing possible. And even if it's an ugly situation, I want to bring some good out of it. And now, shoot, this girl, thank you. You've like been my like greatest message to use and to personal development. I've used this story, you know, a few times, and it's been really impactful every single time. And I love that. I'm like, wow.
Wow. And see, that's what I like I said when we started our episode, that's what I love about you is that since I've met you like 10 years ago, you have that energy to you. Like, you definitely make everyone feel special. You make everyone feel celebrated. You really are just always in such a happy, uplifting mood. Uh-oh. And I think it's so beautiful that the message you're, you know, telling us is you have the choice of how you react to things. Mm-hmm. So either it empowers you and you become wiser and stronger, or you let it defeat you. Yeah. But that choice is absolutely all yours to make.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful.
It's so powerful. And when we realize like how powerful that is, like we can step into that power. But I think mm-hmm. a lot of times people really get defeated by the situation and they let it sink in and turn into bitterness and resentment, and which leads to a lot of, like, when you bring those things into your actual mind and heart and soul, they start to eat away at you. And yeah, it comes out in your actions and in your character and in your life. And so it's hard to, like, you mm-hmm. have to go back. Like, that's why faith ties into this too, because it gives us the moral framework for life, because it says, love your enemies and pray. The Bible says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. It doesn't say, hey, that girl on the bus that was so mean to you, like, hate her for the rest of your life, never forgive her. You know, it doesn't say that. Mm-hmm. It says to forgive mm-hmm. her. And, you know, Jesus did that when he was on the cross too. You know, he said, forgive them for they know not what they do, when they were killing him, and he's dying for them to give them that opportunity to choose, you know, life with Jesus.
Gosh, talk about just like complete selflessness and unconditional love. Like, whoa.
Yeah. And it's hard because this is another reason why, if we understand where we're at in this world, like, there's good and there's bad. There is sin. There is a lot of sin, but there's also a lot of good, which is everything of God. Anything that is good is of God. And yeah, we have to deal with sin, even Christian sin, you know, not Christians, non-Christians, and the world has full of evil stuff. We got the devil working against us every single day.
He wants
to take us out. And, you know, we have to understand that that's the battle we face, and to keep moving forward and to live by the biblical principles that God laid out for us. So that way we have a map. He didn't just leave us here with like nothing, like, hey, I'm trying to figure it out. He's like, hey, yeah, the Bible is huge.
That's an interesting thing you say, because I know a lot of times I've talked about feeling directionless and, you know, not feeling purpose in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like, yeah, that is, we're not dropped here without a roadmap.
Mm-mm.
I think that we are given clues along the way, but there is a framework that we can follow to bring us into that sense of fulfillment and not feeling like it was a total mistake I was born, right?
Right. Yes. And it gives us so many examples. I mean, there's plenty of men and women in the Bible that went through really challenging, they had their like mean girl on a bus experience, like even worse. And like, they, you know, had to get through it and they had to understand. And I mean, they had their ups and downs and all that. So it's like, it's encouraging to know that like, hey, Bible's full of not perfect people that still were trying to pursue a relationship with God and live, you know, for his glory and according to his purposes. And so it feels really encouraging. It's like, hey, they were doing it, I'm doing it, we're doing it, you know, you're not alone.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, I think it's important for our listeners to know that you did have a rough patch for a while when you were younger, right?
Yes, I had lots of rough patches.
Like, you weren't always this full of faith and love for the world and God, and mm-hmm. just like on the high that you've been in the last couple of years I've known you, like, there was definitely a time where this wasn't your everyday reality.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up, because hopefully that makes, at least if anyone's listening, that a little bit more relatable. It wasn't like I just always had this conviction. It was a work in progress for sure.
Yeah,
I think I was still generally like, I wanted to do good things and nice things to people in the world and all that. But there was a time where I had my own kind of near-death experience back in college. And that's when I woke up to like, whoa, like the meaning of life. Cause I thought I was going to lose my life that night. That was a bad night for me.
Yeah.
And I chose that night. I was like, you know what? I'm done. I want to do it God's way. I've done it my way long enough. That didn't work, and it led me not great places, and I was not fulfilled. And then I made an agreement, God, if you save me, I am all yours. And what do you know? Like, he did save me. I feel like he really pulled me through that. And ever since that day, and you know, you can attest to this, my life has never been the same. Like, I've been totally all in with God and a relationship with him, and totally redefining my life to fit like his values and live for him.
Yeah. And ever since that, you have been on fire, not just for God, but for life and just your path of personal development and identity. You have been on fire. And I think it's so amazing that for a while you were working with at-risk youth. So how was that experience for you? How were you able to give them some guidance with, was there a faith portion? How did you give them guidance for personal development?
Yeah, so a lot of that was with my professional background in mental health and behavioral health. Was really just giving them tools, coaching them like, hey, here's some things, here's some ways that you can have a better relationship with your friends at school, your family, your brother or sister. And we taught so many tools and I loved it. It was great because tools work, you know, it's like a formula. You plug this number in to this equation and you get this outcome. It's very helpful. And I feel like a lot of youth and families are really struggling in the department of just like having tools. They kind of just, whatever you were raised with is kind of what you pass on. Well, what if you didn't get all the help that you needed? And then now you're passing on, you know, just the minimal tools that you have. So
yeah, a lot of them, you know what I've realized, not to interrupt you, but I was just wanting to jump on this, is that I feel a lot of people, the older generations especially, a lot of them were raised with a lot of brokenness in their families and in their parenting styles. And then that brokenness is passed down from family to family, generation to generation, unless you wake up and realize that you have the choice on how you, you know, treat your family, on how you teach your children. It's, you're not broken and stuck being broken. Right. And that makes me so sad when people say, well, you know, I was just raised that way and that's who I am. It's like, no, you can change that. You can be better.
Right. And it takes effort, because it's not like just because you change your mind, like, oh, I want to be better, like all of a sudden you're like, you're super smart. Like, you got all the like coaching, self-development, you know, family parenting skills. It's like, no, you got to seek those out. You got to go learn, talk to people, take an online course or go to a class or meet up with people, join a group. There's so many ways. The internet, Google it, you know, there's so many ways to learn. But you have to apply yourself and do that to be able to learn something new and then implement it with your family and in your life. And so that's really what the encouragement is like, yeah, go, you have the ability to do that, learn that, and then change your life by that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I wanted to ask you if you were able to tie in your faith when you were working with at-risk youth, because I too believe that having a deep personal connection with yourself and with God is of the utmost importance. Were you able to explain that to the kids you were working with?
Not exactly in that context, because it was, yeah, we just only could talk about the tool. Like, we had a curriculum and we followed that curriculum. We taught that curriculum. So anything outside of that, that would just be like, if they wanted like a personal conversation with just me, Christina, like they could do that. But as far as like what we were teaching them, we really stuck to the curriculum because it was approved and like put together by many wonderful minds. And so that was what we taught. And it was great. It was all good stuff. But yeah, I missed being able to put a little bit of my, more of my personal like life story and touch in there, especially the faith piece. But, you know, we have respectful of all people and all walks of life. Not everyone is at that point where they're like, you know, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior and I live for him. I am at that point, and I want to get as many people as possible to that point, because to me, life without that is really hard. It's really sad. It's basically can feel meaningless. And, you know, maybe somebody listening might be like, whoa, yeah, sometimes my life does feel meaningless. It's like, well, yeah, that's okay. It's okay to feel that. Go seek out the closest Christian friend you have or something. Go to a church.
Yeah.
You know, go to a seminar, you know, talk to someone, try to get that help, open the Bible and start reading some stuff. Cause that's where you're going to start to find some more guidance and answers. Cause I don't think that we should, like, that's one thing with personal development. If we just looked at it in and of itself, like the whole point is like always growing and developing yourself. So if you have questions of faith, of the world, of like, why am I here? Well, don't, I think it's not good to just sit with those. Go get those answered, you know, go push yourself to find those answers. And of course, there is a leap of faith eventually. Like, we were never going to know every little detail of the entire universe. I mean, we still haven't even figured out a lot of space stuff. There's black holes,
yeah,
and galaxies. We're not going to know everything. So eventually, yes, you do have to have faith.
Yeah. And I think we can find a lot of answers in stillness and not being busy. And, you know, tying it back to like this lockdown and this quarantine going on, this is, my last episode was about finding opportunity in this time. This is an opportunity to get a lot of those deep questions that maybe have been floating around in your head for weeks, months, years. This is a time to be still and to get answers to those questions. Sometimes it's not so much you know, taking a lot of action to find answers, but sometimes it really just comes to you by being still and being alone and being with yourself, right?
Yeah. Oh, totally. I mean, that's a strategy, I think, that even, well, it's just a way of this world where we get caught up in the chaos and the loud noise. And so to calm yourself and quiet yourself is amazing. And the Bible says, you know, ask. It says you have not because you ask not. So if you're in your still quiet time and you're like, I don't know, God, I'm just going to talk to you. What is the meaning of life? Why did you create for?
Who am I?
How are you? Yeah, who am I? How are you supposed to get the answers? You know, like, is pose the question, like, you know, and get answers, you know, see if he speaks to you. And he speaks through the Bible. So he definitely speaks in all kinds of ways, but a great way is to hear straight from God is like his Holy Spirit will speak to you through his word. Mm-hmm. And that's amazing. It will just pierce your heart. And you're like, oh my gosh, that was exactly for me.
I recently did an episode where that happened to me one time, like a month ago. Oh, it was the Ash Wednesday. And I felt this like deep, deep inner peace that I haven't felt in years. Like, I can't remember last time I felt that. And I just started like sobbing in church by myself. You know, it wasn't like an ugly, like type of cry, but there was just, I couldn't stop crying. And I felt a little embarrassed because I was like, man, people are probably looking at me and thinking this girl is losing it in church. But it was just this profound peace that moved me to tears, and I couldn't stop it.
Oh, that's amazing. That's so good.
Yeah.
And that's the Holy Spirit. He moves in us when we invite him into our heart. We ask Jesus into our hearts to live in us, and that we want to confess our sins, repent, and want to live our life for him. He does that kind of stuff. Because I was actually thinking of this funny example, like the other day with my coffee maker. It has like this like chute where like coffee beans and things can get stuck. And if it's not clear, you know, like that could create a problem. But the machine alerts you and tells you if like you forgot to clean it. They're like, it's like, hey, clean out the chute because you can't make coffee yet. You got to clean it out. I'm like, oh, great. I'm so glad it like tells me so I don't just like ruin my machine. And I feel like the Holy Spirit does that for us. He's like, hey, like, listen, like, hey, I've got something for you. Hey, I'm with you. Hey, this is the direction I want you to go. Like, hey, should you be doing that? Like, is that the right thing for you right now? Clean the shoes, you know, don't move forward.
Oh, I love that. It's so true.
It's so good. And so it's like, those don't, and I think people, I feel like people have those moments all the time, like goosebump moments or like just something stirring in you. It's like that, God made us that way. That is the Holy Spirit. That is like a real thing. It's not just like our like blood vessels, like pulse, like that. It's the Holy Spirit. It's a real thing. And so we want to listen to that and like press into that. Like, hey, what does that mean? What are you trying to tell me?
Right. Right. I think it's really important to ask questions throughout your life and maybe even on a daily basis, just check in with yourself. And that way you don't live a life where you're suddenly, you know, 60, 80, whatever it may be down the road. And you're like, what was the meaning of that? What did I do? Because I think it's so easy to add, to just be on autopilot and be kind of like a robot or a machine, you know, working your typical hours, doing the same thing every day, then allowing yourself the weekend to relax. Like, what? I don't know. I'm sorry, but I don't understand how you can live a life that is deeply spiritual, I guess, when you're doing the same things over and over without any variation or questioning of anything. It's like you're just on autopilot.
Well, yeah, it lacks like meaning and purpose, which that just kills our souls. Like we want meaning and purpose, because that creates a reason to live and a reason to love. You know, if it's like, well, if nothing like matters, if I do nice deeds to people, but it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things, people might lose the desire. Like, but it does matter, because God sees and God rewards those people. God knows. That's why it's. There's a quote. It's so good. It's like, it's better to have God's approval than the world's applause. Like the world say, you get the golden medal honor of peace or whatever. It's like, yeah, that's great if the world acknowledged it. But what happens behind closed doors? Like, that's what God sees. And that's what God rewards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God knows your heart. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's just good to keep pursuing that relationship with him. And once you have that relationship, you can keep building on your personal development, growing as a Christian and as a person and as a contributing human member of society.
Right.
But also, like, yeah, exactly. It's good. It's good for the world too. Because that's the thing. We get so caught up in comparison with all the social media and everything. But really, it's like, when someone is doing something great, that is a reflection of like God's greatness, because we are made in God's image. So if someone's like out there like killing it, it's like, great. Wow. Look at all those like beautiful attributes of God that are like shining through that person and another person. And the more we celebrate people, the more like they'll celebrate us. Like, it's great. Like, we want the human race to move forward, and we want to all these everyone's gifts to be fully expressed. So I'm so sad when I, hear of people, and especially in youth. I struggled with it too, of just like, the comparison mindset. And it's so hard. Oh gosh,
that is so hard to not do that.
It's so hard. But when we look at it from God's perspective, that's why it's like, I love the idea of working with the big picture and then going to the small and like deductive kind of, instead of the other way around, because a lot, like, we always want to like figure out us and do our like life, and then figure out like, I don't know, the bigger questions of life, like God and the meaning of life. But really, I think it has to be the other way around: big picture and then God, and then figure out where we fit in his plan and in his world. Just like as if a doctor were, someone was like 5 years old, but they're like, I don't want to be a doctor. It's like, okay, what's the big picture? Like, what's a doctor look like? Where are you working? What's the big picture? Okay, so starting at high school to college to med school and on, there's all those steps that make sense, because you know the big picture. So I feel like that's why you have to start with the big picture so you can work on your small picture.
Yeah. So what would be, I guess, some advice to look at the big picture to tie that back into your life? Like, how do you do that?
Well, a lot of it is like a mindset too, because like the Bible says, this life is so temporary. It says it's like but a vapor. Like, I mean, that is so fast. And so if we want to make sure that, because this is the only time we get that choice to determine if we want to accept Jesus as our savior and repent of our sins and like totally turn and trust him and believe in him. This is the only time. And it also says, life is temporary. So it's like, wow, we're kind of pressed for time in a sense. Like, you don't know when your last day is. So if your last day is tonight or tomorrow, are you ready to like meet God? Are you ready for eternity? Because it says, we always are so worried about what other people think and approval of people in our lives, but really it's what God says it matters, because it says fear him that can cast your soul. People can kill your body, like whatever, but they don't have any control over your soul. God has control over your soul. He can put you in heaven or hell, and that's what you want to be prepared for. And this is the only window we get to do it, because once we pass away, and that's what tied into my near-death experience back in college, was holy cow, like I felt like I was approaching that moment and I was not ready. And there's no grosser, scarier feeling than not feeling ready. So that's why I say all this with so much momentum, because I'm like, equip yourselves now. Get that one decision of Jesus Christ. Get that figured out now, because this is the only time you have to do it. You can't be like, oh, wait, God, I know I'm dead, but like, please get me back to earth and I'll do things
can
a little
better.
Can
I try again?
I'll teach you. Yeah, it's that's not how it works. And he gives us so much time. a lot of times to do that. Some people, you know, not as much. So yeah. That's why we don't know. We have no idea what the end date is, but we can be certain
totally.
It's coming.
And you know what? Along with that, I think that we also create either heaven on earth or hell on earth while we are living on earth. It's what we were saying. Mm-hmm. Everything that happens to you, it's your choice how you react. And your reaction can mm-hmm. either make it a heaven on earth where you're gaining beautiful insight to why things are happening, or it could be hell on earth where you're living in constant anxiety, bitterness, you know, just thinking the world is an awful place. So it's so mm-hmm. important to really choose our thoughts wisely and to really, really listen to our self-talk.
Yes, absolutely. Because like, there's a good book I read too. And it says, yeah, the battle starts in your mind. Like it's all where it starts, because there's a quote I like to do. It says, watch your thoughts, because your thoughts become your words, and your words become your actions, and your actions become your character. So where's it all start?
Yeah.
Your mind. So if you're thinking all these bad things and letting it fester inside of you, eventually that just becomes your character and your reality. But the good news is you can change that. You don't have to live with that. And so I think a lot of people end up living with that, and that's just, you know, a really rough, sad life to live. But change it, you know, if you don't like it, change it. And we have that freedom and ability. So I challenge you, you know, go change it. Don't replay the same tape that you play every single day, that, you know, you're not enough, you're not good enough, you're never gonna make it, life sucks. You know? Don't do that.
So okay, Christina, I love how you're always on fire. Like, you are so enthusiastic and passionate, and I love it because I feel like my energy just feeds off of you. It really does. Like, you are so on fire for life, and it's just so powerful. But my question for you is, if we do want to change our life, how is it in our thoughts? Mm-hmm. How can we do that, right? It almost seems like an impossible task. It's like, I know I'm not happy with where I am. I know my thoughts aren't healthy. But how can mm-hmm. I change that?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. It's a great place, mm-hmm. a great question to ask. Here's another thing about like just our culture and life is like, I think a lot of times we do want to change it, but really what the problem is, I think we know how to change it. A lot of the times we know where to go, what to do, and maybe who to talk to, but we don't want to do it because there's something behind it. There's like, there's fear. There's, you have to actually put work in, you know, a lot of people, it's just laziness. It's like, well, I want to change, but I got to go find an accountability group, or I got to find a group to join, or
I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it.
I think that's more. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, then I got to like get in my car and go to this thing every, you know, Monday night. I think that that's actually more of the problem than actually wanting to change, because when you want anything bad enough, if you want a super burrito with extra guacamole, like you're going to
find
it.
Kind of like the other day when you called me to ask Starbucks. How to make the Mexican so you can make your Southern California burrito.
That's right. I love burritos. They're like all my favorite food in the world. But like, you know, that's a good example, because I'm like, dang, if I really want one, like I will seek it out. I will make sure I find it, yeah. Eat it, enjoy it, whatever. So I really feel like if people really, really want to change, like you will find a way. And so I think more of what the problem is that I think that, you know, it's just like, well, it's not worth it enough. Like someone wanting to lose weight, it's like, you know, well, that requires a lot of work. You know, you got to work out, eat right, sleep right, drink water, do all that stuff. It's a lot of work. But you can get those results, but you got to put in the work. And so that's why I think more of the problem is that we kind of know actually the path of how to do what we need to do if we want to change. It's more of like, do we have what it takes? Are you going to, like Tony Robbins says, like, you got, it's how mm-hmm. hungry are you? Like, how mm-hmm. bad do you want that
change? Oh, yeah.
Because, yeah, I think, I mean, the simple answer, without going into my whole philosophy about all that, I think the simple answer is, yeah, well, find some people, find a group, you know, maybe a small group that you can join, talk to really close friends, find out like the wisest, like older woman or man that is just like a pillar in society, like go talk to them, go ask to have coffee with them and like pick their brain of like how they live their life and how awesome it is. Because those people are all around, but you got to find them and you got to schedule the time. And then create mm-hmm. accountability for yourself, you know, like whether it's a group or it's people or it's a class, like whatever it is, like there's so many ways to change your life and change your outcomes. There's a lot of ways. And so,
right.
Get them, you know, But
the first step
gotta put in the work.
Really work on your thoughts and change that negative self-talk. You know, catch yourself doing it, stop it dead in its tracks, and then maybe say something nice about yourself. And then find a group, find an accountability group, or find a mentor or someone you can just talk
to. Yes. I've had so many mentors, and I've loved it. It has helped me so much in life, and I have multiple groups that I've been a part of and go to currently, and it's just so great because, I mean, we're also relational beings. God made us. We need people. Like, doing anything on your own is really hard, and I almost forgot, too, one of those key pieces of changing your thoughts and your life and your outcomes is obviously God's word. He says, you know, he will transform us by the renewing of our mind, which we renew our mind by reading the Bible, and it starts reshaping our thoughts. Because the Bible doesn't say, like, oh, wake up and stare in the mirror and hate yourself every day. It does not say that. It says, you know, you are, if you've chosen God, you're a child of God, you're a saint, you are blessed, you are,
yes, you are made in God's image, you are like made of divine material, you have divinity within you.
Totally. Yes. So you should be looking in the mirror, just like rocking it, not tearing yourself apart.
Oh man, yes.
Yeah. So that's a bit, another key piece, obviously. And a lot of the groups and stuff, I would encourage people to, if they did go to, or people, close friends, is if they can, biblically based, so that that way your growth is rooted in God, the creator of the world, the creator of you. And he has, the Holy Spirit has the power to change us. So ask for it, at pray. Say your most, get on your knees and say your most sincere prayer. I think that's something like is like a lost thing too. Like, I don't know. It's like people sometimes forget, like, hey, we can talk to God and God could talk to us. Like, he's right there in your heart. Like, just ask him.
Yeah. Hey, and ask, I think a lot of times, you know, we can get discouraged if we don't hear like a booming voice that's like we're listening for. Like,
yes.
See, this is your path. Here it is. I don't know why he has yes. a British accent, but that's just how it
goes. Totally. I know. Yeah, you know, it can come in all shapes and forms. Some, maybe one day you get a booming voice, awesome, and maybe one day you get a really small whisper. You know, it's always, it could be different, but he's always speaking.
We just need to be listening, and that's the thing. You know, I'm really trying to encourage people that this time of inactivity, I guess, is also a time of silence, and this is the time to listen. Like, mm-hmm. and you know, it, I'm not saying I'm perfect. Like, some days I wake yeah. up super like, yeah, this quarantine is amazing for personal growth. And other days I'm like, yeah. oh my gosh, I just yeah. spent 10 hours on Instagram and now I want to cry. So I'm not perfect, but yep. you know, I try to remind myself, like, this is a time to listen. Like, I think the world is healing. And I think God kind of hit a point where he's like, mm-hmm. you know what? Y'all need to calm down and y'all need to heal and y'all need to listen. So yeah. off to your rooms, no supper.
Yeah. I know. I read a meme yeah. or something. God put us in timeout.
Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah. And really, I mean, we again have the choice of like what we're going to do with this time. And yeah, that's in our hands. And it's actually, it's almost like, oh, it's easy when we have to go out to work or whatever, where it's like, yeah, we have to be there. Otherwise, yeah, we could get like fired or whatever. So we make it happen. But man, when it's on our shoulders, it's like, well, I could sleep in or I could get up or I could work or not work. It makes it really hard to like get things done or like really do some of the soul searching instead of, you know, when we're tempted to scroll
oh, yeah.
Facebook or Instagram. You know, it's hard.
It is hard. It's a good time to practice discipline and a good time to practice sitting still. And, you know, I'm trying to do that myself. Like if I kind of get the urge to go on Instagram or Facebook or any other thing that is just mindless, I try to, you know, okay, I'm going to go learn mm-hmm. a new song on the guitar. I'm going to go try to learn French on my Duolingo app. I'm going to go read a book. It's like, you know, use
right.
this time
yeah.
to really get to know yourself better and to soul search rather than using this time to complain about how terrible your life is because you can't go to the bars.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and this is a unique opportunity. Like really, I mean, just like how I was giving the example of the girl in high school on the bus that was mean to me, it's like, we get to choose how we want to take this. Like, we can take it as like, this is awful, the world's going to end, you know, we can think negative thoughts, but those really don't help you. So I would say just leave those to the curb. Don't even try, but really make this positive. Like, wow, I have all this time to, you know, organize my life and my thoughts and like learn some things, push forward in my faith. And like, there's so many opportunities right now, and for the next steps of like when the economy, we get back up and going, like start making your plans. Like there's a, I mean, that you could take it the positive way, which I hope a lot of people are doing. But yeah, I totally understand that it is hard, but we have the choice. So I don't want people to feel like, well, I'm like a victim. Like I don't have any power. It's like, we don't have control over the situation, but we definitely have control over how we respond to it. So you can go scroll Instagram all day, or you could like spring clean your house and make a, create a whole new business, you know, like sometimes the greatest things like inventions and things come out of like the worst situations. Like, you know, we rise up, and it's pretty amazing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. This is the time to become more empowered and to become more knowledgeable. And I mean, how many times have we asked for, you know, more time or a time? Like, oh, I just really need a vacation.
I know.
Or I just wish the world would stop for a day so I could reassess my, it's like, here's the opportunity. Here it is. Like, do it. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And it's so hard because, you know, oh, now we have the time.
That's where the discipline comes in.
Exactly. Yes. Discipline. Yes. And well, I mean, talked a little bit about like identity and knowing yourself. That's another piece of it too, is like when you put in the work to know about yourself, this is why I'm passionate about identity too, is like, you know what trips you up and you know what your weak areas are. Like, hey, I like, for me, I've been more inclined in my life to be a people pleaser, and I will put my needs like last and serve everybody else because I want to make sure they're good and happy. So that I know that that's a pitfall of mine. So when it comes to just me making decisions of my life, like I don't have to be at work at 8 a.m. It's just up to me. It's like, I let myself down all the time. But if it were for someone else, I will be there.
Oh,
every single time.
That is, you know, right? Powerful like thought. I never thought about it like that. If it's for someone else, you will be on time. You will get dressed up. You'll look pretty. You'll do everything it takes, right? But if it's for you, like, I can't tell you how many days I've just been in my PJs all day and like haven't showered and haven't like taken care of myself. But if it was for someone else, oh my gosh, in a heartbeat, I'd be all over getting ready. Wow.
Right. Totally. Right. And so it's like, we got to figure out like, okay, how can I like honor myself like I would other people that I care about, whether it's coworkers or your friends? Like you show up when you say you're going to show up. It's like, but for myself, I know I have the tendency to let myself down because it's okay. I can disappoint me, but I never want to disappoint another person. So I have to flip that. Like I'm working on that a lot. And of course I'm not perfect in any, this whole recording, any of these things I'm saying, of course I'm working out my life and salvation and everything. But that's one of those three topics that we were talking about. That's why I wanted to tie it back in, is that it's so important to be a good student of yourself. So you know what your pitfalls are, you know what your strengths are, you know what your weaknesses are, and you can work with those to create a better life and better patterns so that you can accomplish the things you want to accomplish. Like, I know that's my weakness, so I have to work on that a lot and work around it. So it doesn't
and I love that
take
you
over me.
Said that, because that is a really good thing to think about. You know, how would you treat someone else right now? Would you be, you know, sitting on Instagram for 10 hours, or would you be engaging with them? Would you show up on time for someone else? Then why wouldn't you show up on time for you and maybe, you know, do a workout? Or, you know, it's like, it's a good question to really ask yourself constantly. Like, what if this wasn't for me? Would I be acting differently right now?
Yeah, totally. And when you can like show up for yourself the way that you do for everybody else, a lot of other people, then that's where you can really like gain some ground and gain some traction and like move your life forward in a great way. Because otherwise, and you know, not all people have this problem. Like, I know I'm more inclined to be a people pleaser, but some people I think of like my little brother. Like, he does what he wants to do. He's not really, he always serves him. He doesn't really care about, it's okay if other people are disappointed. He wants to make sure he gets his thing in. And I'm
I was
like,
gonna
wow,
say, it's
so
kind of
inspiring,
because I also suffer from people pleasing. I think it's a very kind of like a female thing. I don't want to say all females are like this. That's not what I'm saying. But a lot of females, we are raised with, you know, be pleasant, be polite, make people feel good. You know, don't really.
Right.
We do.
We have a nurturing
nature.
Yes.
That's
we
beautiful.
Want to help
you hit
people,
the nail on the head.
You know?
A nurturing nature that sometimes isn't nurturing to oneself.
And so, it's like you got to flip it so that you can still serve. I still think serving people is great. And like, being on time when you say, or being where you're supposed to be when you say you're going to be, those are all great things. I keep doing those, but also do it for yourself so that you can have, you know, self-care and accomplish goals and things for
Absolutely. Oh
yourself.
man, Christina, you have given me so much knowledge today and so much enlightenment. Yes, and
Oh,
so
good.
much
I'm
energy and
glad.
inspiration. Like I said, you always just really make me think and you inspire me, and you really are a bright light in this world. And that's why I wanted you to be on the podcast, because I want other people to know you and to feel that energy and that inspiration. So what's a good way for people to get a hold of you if, you know, they have any further questions?
Yeah, great question. I am on Facebook. So if anyone, if this kind of struck a chord, good or bad or whatever, it's, hope it stirred really great things and really excites you to just take control of your life, and but also surrender it to God and say like, hey, what's your plan? Because I want to live this out and I want to live it out fully. I would love to have a conversation with you. So you can reach out to me on Facebook, shoot me a message, and I'd love to talk to you. I'm totally open to that. So it's Christina Brandt. I just recently got married, so it has my old last name and then my new last name.
And how
Christina
do you spell
Brandt
your last name? How do you spell Book?
It's confusing. It's B U U C K.
Okay, perfect. So Christina Brandt Book is your Facebook name.
Correct.
Christina with the K.
Christina
that's
with
right.
The K. It's all confusing. Yeah, totally reach out.
Oh,
I would love
awesome.
To have a conversation
Christina,
with you.
Thank you so much for taking time today and for speaking to us and again enlightening us. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, and thanks for having me. It was such a joy to share this positivity and excitement during this
Yay.
Time, and I really appreciate it.
What
love
was that?
You. Thank you, Lucy.
Oh,
I said,
I love
you. Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you, Christina with a K. all right, everyone. Well, I hope that this inspired you in some way, made you think, maybe just brought some joy to your life today and helped you feel a little more positive about the situation. But whatever it may be, feel free to reach out to Christina or I. And remember to shine and flow. Have an awesome day, everyone.